Tom and Noel Crow join us once again here on The Morning Blend to provide you with your weekly American Catholic History lesson, more compelling stories of Catholic Americans who contributed to our great nation. And with the month of June set aside for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, today we thought we'd wrap up the month with Sacred Heart Chapel. What else would we talk about today, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, we're approaching the 4th of July, so we're going to talk a little bit about something that goes back to the colonial era and straddles into the new United States.
Yeah, a lot of people have probably never heard of Sacred Heart Chapel, but it is actually really the birthplace of the Catholic Church in the United States.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Extremely important in our history.
So it's the Sacred Heart Chapel is in Bowie, Maryland, which is between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. About halfway between, maybe a bit closer to Baltimore. And the land there, so Maryland Colony was established in 1634. It was established as a Catholic haven by Charles I before he got his head cut off. And it worked out just fine for not that long. By 1689, however, Protestants had taken over the colonial legislature and essentially outlawed Catholicism. So only 55 years after the establishment of this Catholic haven, it was illegal to offer the Mass in public. It was illegal to present yourself as a priest in public. Catholics could not hold public office, could not be officers in the military, the colonial militia. They could own property. They could conduct business. And it's actually within this context that Charles Carroll of Carrollton became the wealthiest man in the colonies. But we're not talking about him today.
Different story.
We're talking about another Carrolls. So in 1722, James Carroll, who was a cousin of Charles the Carroll of Carrollton's father, Charles Carroll of Annapolis. There'll be a quiz later for all these people. So James Carroll is given control of many thousands of acres by Lord Baltimore, who was still proprietor of the colony, but couldn't force it to be friendly to Catholics. But James Carroll was given this land, and he gave it to the use of Jesuits. Now, the Jesuits hadn't been suppressed yet. That was in 1773. But of course, the Jesuits couldn't be priests publicly. They were able to work the land as a farm, as a plantation, and they named it White Marsh after the way the dirt along the Patuxent River glittered white. So White Marsh Plantation is what they called it. And they did have slaves. They worked the land with indentured servants and with slaves. And this is part of the troubled history of the region and of the church in the region. But they established sort of a mission, and they used it as a bit of a base of operations to go out and do missionary work. They didn't have a purpose-built chapel until 1741. And that was the point when they started living there. Now, 1729, they actually took possession of it, but as personal property. Because again, so the Jesuits as an organization couldn't incorporate and own property because no Catholic organization could. But individual Jesuits could own property, so they did. So 1729, they take possession. 1741, they build the chapel, which is Sacred Heart Chapel. It's still there. The original stone church is still there. In 1827, they built a larger church attached to it, but we'll get to that later. In the 1780s, so this is after the Revolution, because at this point, John Carroll, who became our first bishop, he had come back to the States after the suppression of the Jesuits. He was a Jesuit. He was related to Charles Carroll of Carrollton. He was a cousin. And he comes back. He's a priest. And he is one of the priests who is operating.
Right. So he was there. There were five Jesuits who were there who began a series of meetings in 1783 called the General Chapters. And it was these series of meetings starting in June 27th of 1783, and lasting until the fall of 1784, where they established the order for the Catholic Church in America. So basically, things down to each priest is going to receive this as a stipend and other things like that. They made those decisions. It was during these meetings that they also discussed having a university for Catholics in the United States. So this is where the founding discussions of the founding of Georgetown happened during these meetings. It was during these meetings where they also elected John Carroll as the leader of their their group right there.
They sent his name to Rome to be named a superior of the missions, which Pope Pius VI did so. In 1784, John Carroll was named superior of the missions. Then eventually in 1789, he was made first bishop of Baltimore.
Right.
But he was elected in the, inside Sacred Heart Chapel, inside the chapel itself. And we've been in this space. It's really cool to be in there.
Yeah, that's right. We're, yeah. Right where the first bishop, like the election right. happened, right yeah. there. So it was these series of meetings at Sacred Heart Chapel that really led to all of the structure of the Catholic Church, and yeah, again, the first bishop, John Carroll, being elected right there as well.
One important point here is that until John Carroll was made superior of the missions in the United States, the church in America was still under the Bishop of London.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So, that of course presented problems after the Revolution for Catholics in America because they could be accused of having dual loyalties. So it was really important for the church to establish a hierarchy in the new United States. And it started with that 1784 vote. The Treaty of Paris that ended the American Revolution was 1783. So Rome, had good reason to wait until after that. But 1784 was when John Carroll was made superior of the missions. So that more or less formally broke our tie to London as a church hierarchy. And then 1789, John Carroll was named first bishop.
Mm-hmm.
One connection to our,
and he remained the only bishop in the United States from 1789 until 1808.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good long time to just be the only bishop in all of the United States.
Yeah.
Which is why by 1808, as we talked previously with Father Anthony Coleman, he was begging
right.
for some more bishops to come. Then 1808 is when you get New York, Boston, Philadelphia, and
Bardstown, Kentucky,
our favorite place.
Ranks right up there.
But and then so Father Coleman, just to tie it back to last week's conversation, Father Coleman for a while was head of the Jesuits. After the Jesuits were reestablished in the 1800s, he was named, and he served at White Marsh after being in New York and defending confession. He was back there at Sacred Heart and served as head of the Jesuit establishment there. So connecting all these things together.
God bless America.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Anything else you want to add before we let you go this morning?
It is a beautiful little chapel. The grounds are great. They have a lot of little shrines there. If you're ever if you're ever in the area around between Baltimore, Washington, D.C., it's not too far from the freeway. So from 95. So yeah, it is a great place to visit.
And speaking of, we were talking about preserving history. There's a group of volunteers there who will give up their time to take you on extensive tours.
Oh, yeah.
To really talk to you. They're really wonderful. The plantation in the area fell into disuse from about 1900 to 1960. And so they're still uncovering records and trying to understand everything that happened there. But just a shout out to a really dedicated group of volunteers there in Maryland, making sure that our Catholic history is preserved.
Yeah, we brought a small pilgrimage group there, and they really did a good job. They rolled up the red carpet, gave us a great tour. It was fantastic.
Excellent.
All right. Well, thank you for walking us through the month of June, and we will catch up with you next week. People want to learn more between now and then. How do they do that? Where can they find you?
You can find us at AmericanCatholicHistory.org.